What's up, guys? It's Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. And thank you so much for joining with us today, season two in 2024. I'm so excited to introduce to you our new guest today. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you a favor. If you could kindly go to our reviews, give us those stars, rate us, share it with someone that you love. That way, we're most likely to come out on their algorithms. And the song you just heard is called Mi Corazón. You can download wherever you stream your favorite music, written by myself, produced by Aaron McGlendon. And for today, your one-stop shop for all things mindfulness, creativity, balancing, entrepreneurship. I have an amazing guest, you guys. This has been a long time coming, a friend that I've had for decades now. And I'm so excited to introduce to you Adames Sosa. Say hello.
Hello, hola, ¿cómo estás, everybody?
Muy bien, gracias. Thank you for being here, babe. Let me give you a little bio, yeah? All right, so today, you guys, we have Adames Sosa. Beauty Warrior is his brand. He is 29 years in the beauty, fashion, entertainment industry. As a performing and beauty artist, a lover, not a hater, his mission statement, rise above, soar like an eagle. Adame has live stage credits in the following: My Fair Lady, Cabaret, A Chorus Line, Raw Talent Live, The Soundtrack, Las Vegas, West Side Story, Quirk Ringmasters. Adame is an artist, educator, reality TV star, performer, hostess with the Moses, and my dear friend. Welcome, Adame. Yay!
Wow!
What's up, babe?
I did not expect you to do all of that, but thank you. Yes, I am well so deserved. Happy to be with you, babe. During the pandemic, I was doing kind of these live video and interviewing my friends. And I got to call Andrew, and you showed up and showed out. And I just want to say, sorry. I've been trying to get with you. I'm so proud of you. You've been doing such an incredible job with all your podcasts. And it's nice to be on this side of the microphone. Because, I'm kind of like the guy who interviews people. So it's awesome. Yeah, no, this is good.
I'm learning from the best. So I wanted to have you on here for so many reasons, because I feel you really embody all the things that the mission statement for Mindful Artistry is. And that is, you know, balancing spirituality, your passion, and just being your authentic self. You've always done that from the get-go, since I met you at MAC Cosmetics and the Glendahl Galleria with the chocolate rose.
Shout out to Glendahl's, the chocolate rose.
Retail cosmetics was it. I mean, we went from like, I don't know, $1 million store to a $5 million store, from 10 artists to 40 artists in like a matter of 2 years, something like that. And you were part of that journey. It was so special. And I loved your energy from the beginning. It's always so infectious and real and just fucking raw. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is it. It's unfiltered. You get it or you don't. You know what I'm saying? So, and I love that about you. Where does that come from?
That comes from, I think, we're going to go there because I wanted to go there with you. I think a lot of maybe my extroverted characteristics and personality really come from the pain in my life when I was wanting to want everyone. I call it suffering from I want everyone to like me syndrome.
Yeah.
Growing up, not fitting in, and we know, you know, being gay or being not of a certain status, and, you know, coming from an affluent, I come from very humble beginnings. So I think I was very introverted as a child, extremely mute almost, did not speak. Mm-hmm. So funny, all I do is talk to them these days, but I was so silent. And I think that once I found my voice, I was like, I'm going to just peacock all the time, whenever I can. And there are times that I have shyness, but there are times where I'm just going to let's bling, let's mohawk, let's wear the crystals and the outrageous costumes at these events that we go to and everything else. But I think that's where it comes from, is wanting to spread love and to be loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Babe, thank you so much. That's exactly why I wanted you here, because that's what we were talking about, is learning from the past and being vulnerable and accepting, you know, all the flaws that kind of shape us for our adulthood, because what ages 1 through 10, that's it. That's the formula of what we got. And we're learning from our environments and our behaviors that are surrounding us, not even aware of what we're soaking in, right? Later, you know, having to like really put the efforts into it. But I love that you you recognize that. I'm proud that you were able to have that awareness and be like, I want to be happy. Like, I'm not going to be, because I relate to that 100%. My story is very similar as far as like being introverted, being shy, having a lot of insecurities and just wanting to be loved, right? But I think when you finally find that tribe and that community that accepts you, you're like, fuck it, this is it. And you just falls out, hawk out, wings out. And I love that about you. It was always so like received well. So thank you for showing that to me, like from the beginning.
Of course, at the beginning, when we worked at Glendale, just so y'all know who are watching.
Yeah, yeah, tell us.
We had a pretty magical team there at the Glendale Galleria. I think, you know, I mean, I think everyone, we are all the protagonists of our own lives, I think. You know, if we really get into the game of life, you start to feel like you're in a movie and your life becomes this movie. And you're like, I need to tell this story. And I'm so glad that you're doing this because we're telling our movie. We're telling our story. We're the leads Legit. In the characters of our lives. Mm-hmm. And what was really neat about the Glendale Galleria MAC Cosmetics store is that Ruby Moreno, shout out Ruby, we love you, mama. She was the store manager. And she was able to put these, all of this, this team of this crew of MAC artists together. We all came from different walks of life. We're all different mm-hmm. shapes and sizes. And that was really what the company celebrated. But it really embodied that with what MAC was doing at the time. But what's really unique about our store is that we were a team of, I think, wild children.
Yes.
We were all super creative, super talented, but we were like all in our 20s, mid-20s, maybe early 30s. And so we were at that age in our life where we were like still trying to part. Like we wanted to be in the party scene. And so we were kind of like had this party club kid kind of mentality. And so our stores particularly would party on the weekends and the music literally would be jamming. And not all locations would do this because every zone would be different. Right. But our store, we'd pump the Madonna, we'd pump the Janet Jackson, we'd pump the house music, we'd pump the 80s music. And every weekend, we would eventually get onto the tops of the makeup tables.
Yes, Club Glendale.
We would go-go dance. Do you remember? We would go-go dance.
Of course I remember that. I mean, well, you were the first one to be on that go-go box. Let's get it straight. I was the instigator, removing the units and the sprayers.
The lipstick, taking the lipstick off the counters.
Giving you your mirror, your brush, and those were your fans, bitch. You were up on the box. Work! Yeah.
Shout out! Yes. Oh,
I love you. Thank you.
I knew this moment would happen organically.
He's right there. Yes. Yes.
This is your artwork on your fan. If this existed then, we would have been like, fanning up
clacking
the
it
boxes.
Clacking it.
Yes. Oh yeah.
I know, it's so funny. I have a whole chapter in the book about that experience. It's,
oh, you do?
Well, yeah, because I went to fashion school, I went to cosmetology school, but I never went to like a university or a real college of sorts.
Same.
So for me, that was my college experience. You know what I mean? Like, that fan looks good on you. And for those of you that are listening on the pod, you can't see, so you got to go to the YouTube. But yes, Adam is beautifully displaying the Amores at the fan. I love that.
Listen, we know how to do this, okay? We know how to do this.
Yeah. This is why I wanted you here. Hold up. Wait. Okay. So
So we're on the tabletops and we're spinning and we're go-go dancing. And of course, you have your people in the store who are kind of looking at us like, what the hell is happening here? But for 3 minutes, one good 3 minute song, we would do this go-go dance break on a Saturday, okay? And we would call this a theme day. And so all of a sudden, the crowds from all, the malls were popping back then, y'all. I know we do online shopping today and Amazon and all the other things. But at the time,
the mall was popping.
That was where you went. And so we were in this glass bubble because our store was just all glass window. And
why
so
we were called the Glendales.
There was just a massive crowd of people who would just come up to the windows and literally would watch us as if we were like the circus act, or we were they were just looking the way. And as soon as the song would stop, we'd take the lipsticks off. We'd gain more clients, more customers would be coming in. And then the crowd would just kind of diminish.
And back to work. Smoky eyelash. Next. I don't know how we had that energy. First of all, you're giving a little percentage of that story too, because not only did we party, in the store, but we partied outside the store, after the store. We're managers, and then we'd go back to work and do it all over again. Like, I don't even know how. But
I couldn't do that today.
Hell no. No, I
could not do that today. But I think that was the magic. I think that when you are having fun, when you are engaging people, when you are showing positivity, when you are sharing that vibration and high frequency and high energy, Christy Tian was the regional manager, MRO, I think it was called manager of retail operations. And I remember we'd almost, all of us would get tense, like, oh my God, they're going to think we're too wild and this is too crazy. Right. And I remember going, I approve of this. There's something happening here that is not like any other store. Right? She's like, y'all keep jumping on the table. So anyway, I think that to start off our interview is like a great base.
That was perfect.
That is how we started our friendship and how we started our connection. Yeah.
It is. Okay. I love you so much. Was beautiful. That was perfect. You guys know that was very special. Like, there's a whole chapter in the book about that. And it's right here behind me. It's chapter 5. I'd go into more detail about it, but I love it. Okay, so let's kind of rewind, though. You touched a little bit on it, and I want to get, you know, to the bottom of, like, the formula of Adame Sosa. Like, tell us about baby Adame. Tell us about your origins and give us a little brief of, yes, we're going there, babe. Give us what you're comfortable with sharing.
No, absolutely.
People connect with that. People connect with that. You know?
Absolutely. So we shared that, you know, I definitely recognized I want everyone to like me syndrome because I did not have in the beginning a strong friend group. I wasn't chosen to be on the, you know, on the team in school first. I was effeminate. I was soft spoken. I was not like all the other guys. And so I have a twin brother. And so let's go back to the beginning. I was born a twin. We're fraternal twins, Adam and Felipe, Adam and Philip. Nice. And my brother is, you know, your guy's guy. He could do the sports and the thing and all of the guy's guy things. Where I was just different. I was not gonna, I was like, can we play tetherball?
Barbies?
Not Barbies. Tetherball. Monkey.
Tetherball
bars.
Is fun though.
Tetherball was bomb, but it wasn't dodgeball. What the guys were doing. It wasn't what the guys were doing. The guy was like the girl sport or whatever. But I just remember I used to play. Okay, this is kind of this is sad, but it's a good thing. This is good. It turns out this is safe space.
Okay. Yeah.
So as a kid, I used to play a game on the during recess, and I would go to the, because I didn't have any friends, and so I would go to the fence. I went to John Burroughs Elementary, Fresno, California, and I would just stand there. And I remember seeing people driving by in their cars. And in my mind, I would think, I can't wait till one day I'm going to be old enough to drive anywhere in the world and have any experience I want. So just cope with this lonely time right now, because one day you'll be out there free. And that was it. I told my mom recently, she was like, that is so sad. But what I think I was saying is, in my child mind, I can't wait to be, I know this isn't it. I know this experience at this lonely time when I'm not chosen to play on the teams, when I'm not really having a strong friend group, there's something else out there in that world when people are driving by in their cars that is an experience outside of the one that I'm in, and I want to go there one day.
Yeah.
And so that was a very interesting thing. But while I was playing that game, it was in the fourth grade, I'll never forget, Esoterica Robinson, Esoterica, okay. Esoterica. And a beautiful little black girl. And she says, hey, why are you over there all by yourself? And I was like, you're talking to me? She was like, come play with me. And I was like, she's going to play with me. And so that friendship sparked from the fourth grade until today. We are still friends. But a lot of times people wonder, I have very much so taking a pride in my artistry across the board, but especially when it comes to women of color. And it's very interesting that myself, when I became a makeup artist, all the black girls would come to me at Mac at my home location in Fresno. Mm-hmm. I tend to be the guy who did all the women of color in any location I was at. And I often wonder, that must have been maybe the seed of, like, I'm going to cater to this group of people. even though I can do the white girl, I can do the light skin and the medium skin.
Of course.
The women of color were always just like held a special place in my life because I think it was Esoterica when we were, you know, in that fourth grade and she became my friend. And so that was the beginning. Thereafter, I went to the middle school where I discovered I joined the choir. So I literally found my voice singing. And it was in singing that I became a little, you know, likable. Okay, so he's kind of weird. He's kind of not.
Because you got a voice, you guys. You got to check out the music.
Oh, thank you.
You too. Just say thank you.
Thank you. Just say thank you. But it was very interesting to have admiration all of a sudden. Someone who was not liked, who was not chosen to be part of a crew or a group of people. And now because I had a little bit of talent, they could say, oh, that guy's got a good voice. Oh, did you hear him sing a song? And then we went to the Performing Arts High School, and that's when it really kind of blossomed. And that's when I joined the theater programs. And I found my tribe, as we mentioned, as you talk about too, where it was artistic, like-minded individuals who were cut from maybe a little different thread and were able to kind of come together. And so I saw other gay people. I saw other artists. That was when I saw makeup artistry for the first time, in the theater, and how you can transform yourself on stage by being, you know, in these music like My Fair Lady or Cabaret or all these different shows. Yeah. And so it was kind of awkward because I come from a very Latino kind. I was raised in the east side of town, so it was very Latino. But I was influenced by American Broadway theater. So again, I still didn't fit in because it was like, hey, what's up, dog? What's up, fool? And I'd be like, hello, my honey. Hello, my
dog. Right? I love
it. So, but it was the mixing, melting pot of all of those different experiences that was building me into eventually becoming the, you know, self-proclaimed beauty warrior. And I call myself a beauty warrior because I like to find and see the beauty in everyone. And I feel like warrior is who we are as people, because despite whatever circumstance that you're going through, despite whatever hardship or shortcoming that you're going through, we are all going through some form of opposition, and you have to be a warrior through that. And so beauty warrior finally felt like the right thing to brand as my own, and my thing that I would like to live on as in my own little legacy of a way with the people that I touch with my brand or with who I am. Beauty warrior is my thing. So yeah, that's kind of where we got to.
You are a legacy, and that how cool is that to know, first of all, like to come from being a minority of even of your minorities, like you're a minority, and then to find commonality with someone else that is a minority and to have this light, you know, reignite you guys. And then you bring that light to wherever you go now, which is kind of beautiful. And then in full circle moment now, like you are that brand. Does that make sense? Like you've through the hardships and through like the struggles and through being isolated, like you are that, you become larger than that and a brand to encourage others and really inspire like so many people, because you have a tribe, like you've always had this little following from different walks of life too, from like your dancing. I went to your dance classes, which is amazing.
We were fans of that. You guys were the best. I loved so coming to the class.
So FYI, fun.
Just so you guys know, I've done from the singing and the dancing and
give the us theater, the breakdown. Yeah.
I found the makeup world. That makeup world hugged and loved on me, and I hugged and loved on it. And it allowed me to really peacock, especially in the beginning days at Mac. We would do all these crazy, wild theme days, which led me into doing some drag makeup and club kid makeup and doing all the really avant-garde stuff. And then thereafter, the dream still to be in theater and project and performing arts. So I ended up breaking into Las Vegas and doing a show in Las Vegas. It's changed my life. It was super cool. And then reality TV, when I did a dance reality TV show, I said, I want to see if I can do this thing. And it was when it was a weight loss show, and I lost weight and danced, and it kind of gave me the platform to now, which is kind of all encompassing, right? It's like fashion, wellness, entertainment, encouragement, motivation. Like, that's why sometimes people are kind of like, okay, stay in one lane, bro. Like, how many? And I'm like, no, but I'm kind of all of them. Like, it's okay to do it all. And you're a lot like me. I see you, Andrew, and you're, your hair and your makeup and you're designing cosmetics and you're a makeup artist instructor and I'm now you're in Florida and you're in California. Like, we're kind of all the things, huh? We just keep going.
Yeah, we're like a big
pizza
pie. You're just trying to take all these recipes and ingredients from all the different kitchens that you have participated in and just, you know, fully cook like what it is that you're trying to figure out, really. I'm still trying to figure it out. Like, we're always trying to figure it out. I say I'm a student of the University of Mother Nature, and that is my religion. And I will always be learning from wherever I go, like, and healing throughout that. But the mission is to uplift others like ourselves that are a little broken at times and have some hardships, which we all do. It's part of the progress of growth and evolution. But knowing that there is a light at the end of that dark tunnel and that you have other people that you can connect with and be, you know, a community and be a tribe part of, or be a part of a tribe is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, cool.
I love that. And I love you. I wanted to ask a couple questions that are particular to... Can you share with our viewers and our listeners, what practices or routines do you have in place to nurture your creativity and spirituality while running your business?
What practices do I have that are nurturing what I do in life? I would say...
the balance of it all.
One practice I'm doing right now is exiting social media for 1 month. And it's very difficult for me. It's very, very difficult for me. I went through a period of time, as you said, we have highs and lows in all of our lives, where I was in a very deep low. And I was experiencing, you know, the things, the depression, the anxiety, the you know, just the unknown. And I remember thinking, I'm posting and creating content and, it, you know, is it taking away or adding to my life? And so for a couple of years, I decided for the beginning of every year, I'm just going to exit for 30 days. The month of January is just for me.
Yeah.
It's self-care. It's me to get my mind, you know, deep clean my room or my house or my office or where my studio or whatever it is that I, all the stuff that I sometimes get cluttered with. And and I stopped doing that for a couple of years because I was so excited. The world opened up after a pandemic lockdown and stuff. So just yesterday, I said, you know what? I'm going to take it off. So for January, I don't have to create content. And it's like, what do I do? You know, you have more time to go to the gym, food prep, you know, whatever it is, the things that you want to do. I know you had sent me a list of things. And I don't know if I can do the cold shower thing yet, but...
No, I applaud you for that. Like, it's a digital disconnect detox is imperative. It helps you mind, body, soul, because we do not even realize that we become addicted to it. And it's, it shouldn't be the first thing that you pick up. The first thing you should do is practice gratitude. And that's part of the list that I sent you. Reflect 30-day reset, because our human brains are formulized to be comfortable and like, to really evolve and to really break out of the darkness that you just shared with us. Thank you for being vulnerable about that. You have to challenge yourself. You have to fight that little voice. You have to fight that little inner saboteur, inner bitch voice, whatever you want to call it. And the only way to do that
Verushka.
Babushka.
Shut up.
Like, I see you. You're that annoying, like, roommate. I know you're never going away, but you're going to, like, be quiet for a minute. Give it an expiration date and you can move on from it. So this 10 step list that I gave you for the 30-day reset is for that reason, is to challenge that part of the brain. Neurologically, you will actually change that negative thought that's telling you, nah, stay comfortable. You don't got to go over there. Don't take a cold shower. Don't go to the gym today. Don't eat healthy today. And then you fight those voices and you challenge it with positive affirmations and things that you can eventually use into other parts of your life. So that's the whole like purpose for that.
Positive,
so
positive affirmations is something that I'm trying. I have them up on the mirror now. What is believe in yourself, because no one else will, and there's nothing wrong with being selfish. I think
that I'm putting it in a place where you see it every day.
I think that there's this negative, you know, critique. Oh, you don't just be self-absorbed. Don't be self-centered. It's not about being overly self-centered or self-absorbed, but if you are not selfless, you have to be for you first. You know,
how are you going to love someone else if you can't love your damn self, right?
If your cup cannot run, it says your cup runneth over. So it's like, mm-hmm. that means your cup has to first be full, right? So that it can then run over so you can share with others. So positive affirmations. And I think we all can get mind boggled with that mind chatter, you know, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. And so I know you asked me to talk about a book, I think it was, at one point.
Hold that thought for a second. Yeah, we will. Okay. We will. No, you're good. Okay. You're good. Okay. No, but that's a perfect segue into the how you're going to love someone else if you can't love your damn self. So what is a self-care beauty regimen that you practice for yourself? Because in order for you to be of service for others, you got to take care of yourself first. So what's a self-care beauty regimen that you have? Do you take time for yourself selfishly before you service others? And what are your beauty, you know, regimens that you want to share with us? Because you're a beauty guy like me, so.
Yes,
we love want to know all the secrets because you still look 20. Yes.
Thank you. Oh, I needed that. No, it's all the Botox and the filler. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, whatever works. I'm a fan.
I don't have any yet, but I'm not afraid of the injectables. Beauty, mm-hmm. you know, believe it or not, as cheesy as it sounds, I love getting up. Every now and again, I will just go get a nice pedicure and just chillax in my spa pedicure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it just feels so good to get good. Like, the massage and they're doing your toes and your patas look good. Oh, your pies. Sorry, not your patas.
Yeah.
Spanish.
But yeah, I got a manicure earlier too.
A good manicure. See, a manicure. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Oh, let me show mm-hmm. you my foot. No, I'm just kidding.
Not the patas. <Big up. laughs>
No, that's one. Another one is for self-care. I recently started dancing again, and it's something that I love so much. You know, I'm in the hair in the studio. I have a hair and makeup studio.
It feeds your soul.
And it feeds it so much. It's so important to keep the body moving. I tell people all the time, you know, it's not so much about gaining bulk muscle or, you know, losing 1,000, this weight. It's the endorphins that are being like shot through my brain, and you're just feeling, you just feel so much better after. And so for me, showing up and teaching a class helps me show up for myself. I know they would say, you know, oh, just do it for yourself. You should be doing this for you. And it is for me, but it helps motivate me knowing that there's other mm-hmm. students that are relying on me to show up. So it's again, creating that community accountability. Mm-hmm. It's your accountability. Yeah. So that's it. That's it.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. Cool. Cool. So that also leads me into the is new segment for.
Hi, Johnny.
No, he's not here yet. Who are you talking about? That's my back. It's a reflection. See? It's two Andrews.
I see that homie back there.
It's like it's the Glamcore light. You're crazy. I love you. All right, you guys. So with season 2 in 2024 of Mindful Artist Podcast, we have a new segment that I'm really excited about.
The library is open! Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
There you have it, darling.
And it is called The Library is Open. So for our guests, an opportunity for you to share, what is your favorite book and why?
Okay, I'm not much of a reader, ain't gonna lie.
That's however, honest, that's okay.
However, during my like 18, 19, and 20, there was this TV show, PBS, I'm sure PBS, Public Broadcasting System, is all over. In our town, it's Channel 18. But this guy, Dr. Wayne Dyer, would be on. And so from a very early age, I started to follow his television show, and he would sell his books. But he was all about speaking about connecting to higher source and understanding the power of mindful intention and manifestation through positive thinking. And I remember thinking, wow, that's such an awesome way to think, being born
what
and
was
raised,
the name of the author?
Dr. Wayne Dyer. And so from a very early age I had that influence, yet I was afraid to follow it because I was born on beans, rice, and Jesus Christ. So my family would say that is the new world thinking, don't go that way, right.
However,
it's very intertwined with what some of the Bible says. It's about positive thinking. It's about, you know, having as long as you have as little of a mustard seed of faith, whatever it is you can try and shoot for, be ambitious, continue to knock out those negative thought processes. And so the name of that book was The Power of Intention by Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Nice.
And he just spoke about how your intentions and what you focus on in your mind are really what mold and create your life. And so I was very fortunate and blessed to have that at about 18 or 19 years old, because I remember trying to write down, and what I was doing was creating vision boards at that age, mm-hmm. which I wish I would get back to doing that. That's something I want to do again this year, I think. I haven't done a vision board in a really long time. Yeah,
definitely. Put it in a place where you can see it daily as well.
Yeah, but that book is amazing. So I recommend it to everyone if they're ever wanting to try to check out someone. Yeah.
So that's the book, The Power of Intention by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Awesome. I'll put that in the description of this episode.
Yes.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing that. Also, can you share any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs looking to incorporate more creativity and spirituality into their work?
Yes, I think that I use my life. We talk about, you've mentioned even, you know, your university is this planet, this life experience. And I think at the stage I am in our life where we are, is we're wanting to give back, we're wanting to share, we're wanting to motivate and encourage. And so I think that if you are trying to get to any place in your life in any industry that you're going for, that preparation, this was taught to me by Michael Keyes. I remember I interviewed him once at IMETS. He's the owner and creator of IMETS, International Makeup Artist Trade Show.
Yes.
And as I was interviewing him, I asked him a similar question. And he said, well, I believe it's when preparation meets opportunity. And I remember thinking, just those two things, preparation and opportunity. Well, I would never have been able to be in a musical or make my moment on TV or have my big dream moment in Las Vegas had I not studied over and over again how to sing and how to dance and take another dance class and investing in myself and taking that extra class and being relentless and determined to eventually make whatever it is that I want happen. I have so many, I feel like I haven't touched even, sometimes I feel like I haven't done anything. So when you introduce me, it kind of feels like, what? That doesn't feel like, because I feel like there's so much more, right? We want to do when you have that ongoing creative ambition.
Mm-hmm.
But to a new artist, to someone who wants to start their business, study, make sure that you are investing in everything that you want to do as far as classes or education. And preparation, you're constantly in preparation so that when that opportunity presents itself to get a job at Mac, to audition for the show, to start your podcast, to now you're prepared for that opportunity. And I think that also happens with the passion of just, I think timing is also, it's just kind of, sometimes it just, it's like there's this cosmic connection and timing thing that happens, but opportunity meeting preparation.
I love that. Well, yeah, because, you know, maybe 15-year-old Adame or even 20-year-old Adame wasn't ready for that reality TV competition show. Like, you had to kind of suffer and go through all those different parts of your life to be the Adame that was ready for that.
Oh, and pivot. Don't pivot. To pivot. If that, whatever it is, being a doctor, being a lawyer, being, I don't know, opening up your ranch,
being adaptable,
pivot. Don't be afraid to pivot and find different ways to your successes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. How do you measure success in both your creative and entrepreneurial pursuits? And do they ever overlap?
How do I measure? I think it's still very hard for me to measure, which is why I said I feel like I haven't done enough, even though I know that we are enough. I know where we are is just perfect. We are in divine order. All is okay. There's still an inner voice that says there's so much more to do. I'm so looking forward to creating the next whatever it is as the lead in my life movie. Mm-hmm. I'm the protagonist and the lead character in my movie. You are the lead protagonist and lead character in your movie.
Period.
But also learning to be okay with what you have done and where you are. And if that means you're taking a break from college or you're taking a break from your business or whatever it is, that is okay for now, you know? And so I hope I answered that question. I know
you did. No, that's
that question.
And you're no, it's perfect. There is no wrong or right answer. It's really what it means to
that individual. It used to be, if I made enough money, if I'm a millionaire by this time, I should have I should have my own Broadway show. I should have the beach house and the home in Bel Air and all of these different things. And that has all disappeared now. All of those things have no longer meaning. I can say what means the most to me and what makes me feel fulfilled, not successful, but fulfilled, and fulfillment to me is success, is having this with you, having a real connection with you, having long-rooted relationships, because none of this goes with me. I've learned that all of this fades, but the one thing, and this is when I get a little, your family, your friends, your connections, your experiences, the light that you leave and the responsibility that I have when I come into a room or I come into a space, that for me makes me feel most successful, because I want to be, you know, one day when we're gone, I think of myself, I go, how will I be remembered? How will people remember me? I want to be remembered, hopefully, with giving just a little bit of light in people's lives and happiness. And so that to me is success. Yeah, I know.
Yes, preach. No, I love it. That's why we're here. And that's we're here to make a difference. Yeah. This is why I want to connect with you. I always feel that connection with you, even if it's remotely, even if it's on a FaceTime or on a phone call, it's or on a video text, you know, voice memo that we often leave to each other. That's 5 minutes, 10 minutes long, but I save them all. I'm here for it. And I appreciate
it. It's a mindful. I love that the name of this is mindful. I didn't realize how mindful I'm being when I am. Is he really that happy? Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on? And I'm putting on, maybe I am putting on some, but I'm mindfully choosing to leave positivity in the spaces that I enter, because that's what I would want for people to do for me. And there's really shitty people in the world. Sorry, excuse my French. There's really negativity in the world, but I choose and try, because I am far from perfect. I make mistakes all the time and I own them and I try to apologize for those mistakes. But I try my best to be, Oprah Winfrey's another big inspiration, and she's be mindful of the frequency and the energy that you bring into the room. If we are all being mindful of the energy and the frequency we bring into the room, then we can have that. But you know, you've entered a room and you've been like, ooh, it's heavy up in here.
Yeah. No, I 100%. Like you said it earlier too, that we're directors of our own cinematic experience, right? Yeah. And that even goes into like coming into a room with other energies that sometimes you're not kind of compatible with at the moment. So I like to challenge myself when I have those moments, and I really look at myself and say, okay, what is it about this energy that I can learn from, that maybe I'm projecting something about me that I don't really like about myself onto that individual, and I'm judging. So I always try to be aware of that and retrain that judgment into like, oh, you know what? Even though they had a bad attitude, that's a really cool shirt, or that haircut's amazing. And I'm getting used to in the habit of like not judging, because that's something that I don't like about myself. You know what I mean? Like
all of us can be critical, right? Matter of fact,
because I'm critical of myself.
I'm going to bring it to you, your attention just now. So you came into the store. I had already been working there. You had been hired just shortly after I did.
Yeah.
And this is a memory. This is good though. This is good. You got a key holder position over me. And I remember thinking, how the hell this cat gonna come up in here and get a manager position? And I've been here before him. And I remember having a moment.
Right.
I have obviously fallen in love with you. You're one of the homies. You're like you're a brother. Same. You're a. But in that immature space or in that time in life, you learn and you go, wait a minute, that wasn't my time. That was his time. There's going to be different moments where you can learn to have those breakthroughs with relationships. And if this interview is being heard by someone who might be going through a difficult time with a coworker or in a friendship, personal or professional, we ended up becoming great friends. And I'm so proud of everything that you've done. And Iris Navarrete, who's written a book recently and was one of our big mentors in MAC Cosmetic.
I'm trying to get her on here too.
She took Iris from both girl. Of us. We want you, girl. she said, Adame, sometimes in life, in order to move up, you have to move out. Now, she meant I was trying to go for, like, I think a senior artist position or an artistry position. And she was telling me, instead of going up, Mac, from the artist world, maybe you can go up, but in the manager world. Well,
yeah,
she didn't know I actually left completely out of Mac. And that was a really scary moment at the time because Mac was the hot thing. And it was like leaving Mac was like a big deal. Like it was very fearful. But as soon as I left Mac, I ended up becoming an educator, senior mm-hmm. artist for a private makeup academy. Mm-hmm.
There and you go. So
moving sometimes in order to move up in life, whether you're personal or professional life, if you move out, you'll be very shocked and surprised how sometimes God, universe will shoot you up. And so that
was a great pivot, my friend. I love that pivot. Good job. No, so good. Okay, so here we go, you guys. I mean, this guy, he's amazing, right? All the things. Look at this. Look at this energy. Can you feel the energy? I can feel the energy. Give us your top, like, highlight moments of your career. Like, what are your top three favorite moments of, like, man, I did that, I'm proud of that, and it's going down in history?
Thank you. That's a fun moment. Top three. It was very hard, as you know, drama. I said, he's like, send me 10 images. I sent him like 68 images. I'm like,
I gotta filter through all that.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. I love it.
That was very me though.
Portfolio is amazing. So good. Because it's like different genres of portfolio too. It's like Broadway. It's like artistry. It's hostess. It's all the dancer. I can't, like, you know what I mean? There's a chocolate. There's a rose.
And I don't know if you guys can see, but I got this stature, you know? So the big
and boy still is shaking and shaking and grooving. Moving and grooving.
Still shaking and moving. That's been the one thing is whether I'm in my smaller physique or my larger stature, the boy can move.
We love it.
But I would say, Mac Cosmetics, obviously, we've been talking a lot about our Mac days. It helped build and mold me into the artist. Eventually, I have become. I now have my own makeup brand and my own studio, Beauty Warrior products. And it's, if you look at it, it's very much so modeled after the inspiration from being with Mac, black and white. Mm-hmm. The logo is just like the letters. But all the relationships and the artist training and development that happened within that company helped so many of us move on to do other bigger and even grander things.
Absolutely.
So that was a huge moment, paying respect to Mac. And then making, you know, Vegas, being a headliner, and like, what? I'm this Mexican boy from the hood. You know, I come from like humble beginnings.
So cool.
And I'm in Vegas and I'm with 55 cubanos. Y antes no hablas español, pero ahora yo hablo español, pero yo tengo un poco de acento cubano.
¿De veras?
Ajá. Yo,
¿no creíste hablando en español?
No, ni un persona en mi familia habla en español. Yo soy la única persona. Porque yo aprendí, ni mi mamá, la verdad. Mi hijo, mi hija ya. Pero cuando habla, yo aprendí con mi compañera de Cuba.
¡Hey!
¡Hey! ¡Oye, qué bola hacer!
Aquí tenemos bastante cubanos y puertorriqueños aquí.
¿Oh, sí?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, muchísimo. Yeah, en Florida. Muchísimo. Sí. ¡Ay, qué rico! I mean, ¡ay, qué bueno!
I love it. Also, you've talked about your mom.
I said in Spanish. My mom's delicious. Huge inspiration. Yeah,
I love your mom. She's so cool and beautiful.
Yeah.
And
she's my, like, number one. We live together today. I was away for 30 years. It's so great. She's a widow now. We push and pull in life together. I put her all over my social media. It's how we got through pandemic together. You know, she gripes and complains and different things. And it's so funny. I'm like, Mom, we're like two peas in a pod. Like, it's just you, she, and I. I don't have a partner. She's a widow. I take her to all my events. Some people think it's weird. I think it's amazing.
It's beautiful.
I get one mama in this world. And one day when they go, God bless you and your family. Mm-hmm. I know your mom is your angel now. But I just try my best to share her as well. And Vegas would be the second. Back to the question. Vegas would be the second. And the third would be the reality TV show, the weight loss TV show, when I was on that show. So those are the three, I think, highlight moments. Because, those are my three highlight moments. So, yeah.
Bravo.
I just got back into the ballroom. I told you I'm teaching dance again. And
I saw.
And so I was at Dancing with the Stars a couple weeks back. And
how was really that?
Cool. It was super dope, bro. Like, it's been 13 years since I've been in Hollywood. I live in Fresno now. My business is local. So I kind of lost my connections, I thought, in Hollywood. But I had a friend who worked at them as the makeup team, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, Sarah, I don't know if you remember Sarah. She was a freelancer with us at Mac Glendale, but she's a makeup artist backstage. Sarah had, she has.
No, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So she ended up helping us get on the show, but it turns out that the producer at CBS, we recognize each other because she's the same producer, stage manager, who stayed and managed my show. So it was like 13 years later, she remembered that I was good to her. She was good to me. And so full circle moment, that to me is success. When you, and keep those kind of those relationships, you know?
People never forget.
And the chocolate rose.
No one knows about that.
I'm just going to say it now, because whether she's around or not, it's actually a good thing. Her name was Catherine Dimitru.
Love. She was fierce.
She was in executive leadership at MAC Cosmetics.
She was the VP of MAC Cosmetics, yeah. And
she was the VP.
Well, for the Southwest. Southwest.
You're right.
Anytime we would have those visits that Christy would tell us, Christy T, and we'd be like, oh, girl, we got a deep clean. We got to get the Fabuloso. We got to dust. We got to mop. Put these Mexicans to work.
So we were having a market visit. Our big wig boss is coming into the store. The store was just pristine. And she would walk in. And there were, I guess, some chocolate rose candies that were sitting on the table. And Captain Dimitru, if you're listening to this ever, know that this was not to mock, but it really was. No, you were just so fabulous. Love. And she walked by and she's like, and Andrew and I were always bullshitting and making jokes and overdoing the drama, right? And so we were also immature. We were probably like, what are we, in our mid-20s?
We were probably nervous and like just... I don't know.
Ooh,
yeah.
What is this? Is this a chocolate
I brought a basket of chocolate roses to her. And you picked one out. I think, did you put it in her mouth? I'm holding the basket. This? I'm holding the basket.
It's a chocolate rose. And it probably wasn't that dry, but we kept putting extra on it. But she was just so fabulous. Like her hair and her makeup and her body and her outfits.
All
and
of it. Gorge. Yeah.
And so we made this inside joke for many years. And
it's
so
for years. Day, I'm going to get a chocolate rose tattoo.
How are that's you, like... chocolate rose?
Oh, my God. I can't. This is why I wanted to have you on here. I love you. So here we go. Wrapping up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. I have some three questions just right off the top of your head. Don't have to think about it too hard. Question number one, Adame Sosa.
Okay.
Who is your hero and why?
Oh, my hero is my mama. My mama, because she was just our saving grace in our life. She was able to nurture us and feed us on a very minimal budget. And I now, as an adult, realize how hard life is, how expensive life is, how I would really struggle if I had a human being I had to take care of. And she took care of three of us, me, my twin brother, and my sister. And so she is actually the singer and the dancer, and she actually did hair and makeup. And so she did not get to live out her passions the way that I have. But I think that as a parent, you yearn to say, okay, the next generation, what will you do with this? And so when I look to mama, and when I do all of these things, it's to make me proud, but it makes me happy to make her proud and make her feel like, wow, she is my worst critic, by the way. She'll be like, well, you don't know how to do that makeup that good. I'm like, I have a global award trophy. I have a global award trophy for a makeup artist. She's like, don't do my makeup. Mom, you want me to do it? No, I don't need you touching my face. So she's fuerte. Yeah.
You guys are synergistic. I love that.
Yeah,
okay.
She's so funny.
Question number two. What is your favorite music album of all time?
Janet Jackson, Control.
Hey,
baby.
Yes, so good.
Control.
You live that too, boom, and you know that choreo. Like,
I'm a Janet fan, man. I'm a Janet fan. But we're on our way to see Madonna. Madonna is.
Are you going
to
see her too?
I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there. Yeah, I'm going to be in LA in March. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You're going to be in LA.
Yeah, Monday.
Yes, dude.
We have to connect. We have to connect. Yes.
We will be.
You know, I'm bringing the fashion and all the things. Okay, cool. Last question for wrapping up Mindful Artist.
Wait, not Andrew. I'm having a picture of you in a unitard with flowers and just like Prince. Wait. Oh, your Prince party.
Oh, that was fun. That was fun. Yeah. I always had themes every birthday.
Amazing. Amazing.
Wrapping up Mindful Artist, rapid cues. Question number three, chocolate rose. What? All right. Focus.
Okay.
What is your favorite quote of all time?
Oh, I think one of my favorite quotes of all time. Let me see here. Oh, no, I'm drawing a blank. Jeez. I mean, I guess one of them that I always go to, and I share this in a lot of my classes, is one that I shared earlier with, which was "A virus never end. In order to move up, sometimes you have to move out." And I think that can really be applied to so many areas in professional and personal. Sometimes if you're in turmoil, you really just, what is it? And I always use, you know, the flight, the pilot, you know, what does a pilot do when there's turbulence in the aircraft? Does he stay on that same level, or will he rise above, or will he lower? He doesn't stay in turbulence. The pilot will either rise or will either lower. So it means pivot, change position. Don't stay in turbulent life form. Try to find smooth ground. And so, yeah, that's what I would say.
So fitting. Beautifully said, my friend. Iris Navarrete quote, in order to move up, you got to move out, right?
Sometimes you have to move out.
Sometimes you have to move out. Okay, cool. Adame Sosa, thank you so much. This was amazing. Tell us where we can find you and support your craft, your brand, and all the things.
Thank you so much. I love you, brother, from another mother and
I
father.
Love you too.
I'm so proud of you. And Johnny, I'm proud of you. I miss you. And you can find me at Adame Artistry and on all social media. That's my handle. So at Adame Artistry. Yeah, and that's it.
The brand as well?
Beauty Warrior okay. Tribe. Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you so much. I love you. You guys, Adame Sosa today. Let's give it up. Make sure you follow him. That song you're about to hear is my song, Mi Corazón, written by myself, produced by Aaron McClendon. And for those of you that are out there wondering what you can do with your lives, make sure that you follow us. Come back to the next episode. Subscribe. Mindful Artist Podcast. If you are a creative entrepreneur that balances your life with spirituality and artistic, email me at mindfulartistpodcast@gmail.com. Until the next time, make an impact in someone's life. Much love and light to you all. Thank you, Adame. Love you.
Love you. See you later.
Bye. Bye.